Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another sensational episode of Smoking With Podcast. Josh and Garrett here, coming to talk to you and all the people out there about a bunch of things, you know, just
things
life
that pertain to you. Before we get too hot and heavy, please go check out Magobe, Photon Tech, Medic Grow. Codes will be at the bottom of this. Go check out our Instagram. There's a cool little link tree there. It'll take you to the rest of our things.
And if you feel like supporting the show any further, you know, outside of all this, just listening and all that, if you want to support us financially, help this show create better content, patreon.com/smokingwith. $3, no, $5 a month will get you some seeds, and we'll send you some stickers and whatever cool stuff we have laying around here.
And some more swag is on the way.
And some love. Anyway, before, or I guess as we roll into this episode, we have a very special guest today. We have Aaliyah May, welcome back, returning guest, the host of the But How podcast. Hello, Aaliyah.
Hello, I'm so excited to be back. Last time I was on, I was a different person. I think y'all can probably say the same thing as well. Oh, yeah. It's amazing what a year plus of growth will do for you. So I'm excited to be back. We're and just share love and light with your audience here today. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, of course, this is Instagram and all that. But as we said kind of before we rolled, it seemed like you were in a much better place, at least mentally or physically or both, you know, now than you were when we last talked. You were kind of like going through a lot of moves and a lot of changes, and you were, you know, you had maybe some roommates or just some... I don't know. It was just a crazy time when we talked last. So, what's going on now that just seems so much healthier for you?
Well, I think then, you know, when we had last had a conversation on the podcast, I think I had y'all on maybe May of last year. And then a couple months before that, I was on your guys' podcast for part one and two. And we were talking about all things astrology. And like my head was just all in the clouds. Like literally, that's the way I can best describe it, is that I was living in a different dimension where I did not want to actually be in the physical world, because everything here was like so boring and kind of was like heavy to me, you know, being an empath and being surrounded by people who were struggling and knowing there are so many people who need help. It was like really weighing me down. And over the course of the last year, I mean, 23 is the number of change. So when I turned 23, something changed inside of me where I was like, I cannot continue to live my life like this anymore, where I am just focusing my energy on helping other people. And if I genuinely want to help other people, which I do, I call myself a light worker for a reason, because I do believe I am the embodiment of light, and I'm always able to shine that light in everybody's direction. And we all possess the ability to do that, but it really took me changing my perspective, which is ironic because that's what my podcast is all about, is changing your mindset. But I had to take my own advice and really start to take control of my own life and really check in with myself and ask myself what makes me happy. And since finding that strength and that inner peace, it brought me to getting a dog, which helped me to find my purpose and just dive deeper into the podcast and treat it more as, you know, a purpose and an outlet for me to express myself and create and bring my thoughts and my message to this world, rather than just fucking around in a microphone and being like, fuck this, fuck that, you know, so angry at the world. So a lot has changed, but in such a beautiful way. And that's, you know, the beautiful part about life is just growing and evolving.
Heck yeah.
Did it feel when you were doing your like podcast, I guess, was there a point in time during your podcast where it felt like more effortless, right? Like it just felt like it kind of flew out of you, rather than like you having to sit down and like, you're like, I got to record this, right?
Yes. Yes. So I started season two. It was like the end of winter. And whenever I created new artwork and kind of changed up the theme from this dark, like dreary picture of me, I was literally smoking a joint in space and the background was all dark. And I love that artwork because it's a representation of me and where I was at that point in my life. And cannabis is still very much a huge part of me and my spiritual journey. I have a very different way of looking at it now and the way that I use it with intention. But after creating that and kind of changing my mindset around how I want to deliver my message, things started to flow with a lot more ease. And even this week, I wasn't able to record a podcast because I had other things going on in my life. And I was like, that's okay. Because if I sat down and tried to force it and to record it, then that's where the uneasiness comes in. And then the pressure, yeah. the unnecessary pressure that we put on ourselves when, you know, everybody who's listening to your podcast, both of your guys's, to my podcast or to any podcast, they're showing up because they want us to be the best versions of ourselves. Yeah. So if you can't show up as that, then you just have to deliver in any other way that you can and just let everybody know, you know, you're still there loving and supporting. And there was a period of time where I took a break because it felt so forced because my message was not me coming from my truth. It was me talking just to talk and just to put out content to be consistent.
Right. Well,
I think that you nailed it, dude. Like, it's important to make sure that, you know, when you're doing something like this, that passion is there. I think that's the thing that separates people who are entertaining and people who aren't, is they're passionate about what they're doing. So you can hear that passion in their voice and you can see it in their energy and how they hold themselves and the body language. And so it makes you invest more into what they're saying, because you're like, oh, I can see that this person really believes what they're saying and feels like, you know, that they love this. And so that energy kind of rubs off, and then you're like, okay, cool, like I'm getting energized doing what I'm doing by listening to this person talk about the thing that they're passionate about. Right now I can focus on my passions, or I can think about what I want to do. And you know, I think it's smart that if you're not in that headspace and you're not going to create something that's going to keep your brand moving forward, right? Like, never do something that's going to be a detriment. And I think that's smart for a lot of content creators. I see some stuff and people put out and I'm like, oof, man, like maybe you should just go take some time, like go like have a little breaky break, a little vacation or something.
You know, like a bye week is never a negative, right? I get that everyone wants to be consistent, right? That's what they say. The key to all this making it work is consistency. But there is consistency beyond a break, I feel right. like, you know, like you mm-hmm. can take it, and of course you don't want it to be like a year long break or something like that, right? That might be a little too far from the path, but you know, a week or 2 weeks for you to like recenter yourself, you know, sometimes is necessary. And yeah. you know, that's why sometimes Josh and I will like bang out a few episodes and bank some, just because there is a chance that, you know, like maybe yeah. something's not right this week, or you know, something got, we got real busy and we couldn't record that week. And just like life happens. So
we had, when I had my son, there was, and then Garrett got sick. We had like 4 or 5 episodes banked, and we took such a long break that we had to do like a 2 week break. Right. So there was like 6 or 7 weeks that we didn't actually record anything. We just had enough banked where it was only like a 1 or 2 week.
Like, and then to get back into the swing of doing it as well, it can definitely be really challenging. And that's where I have to like make notes to myself, because if you do, you know, batch record episodes and then it is a couple weeks before you do it, then you forget how good it feels to be in the flow of doing the things that you love. So I write a little note to myself and I'm like, reminder, this is your natural release of dopamine. This is right. your message and your gift to the world. Like, if you want to be financially free and you want to work toward raising the vibration of the planet and creating content that's going to uplift people and to help people to feel safe and feel like they're not alone, yeah. this is what you have to do, you know?
Hell yeah.
And it can be hard to get back into the swing of things. So how did y'all get back into it, or did you find any resistance, or was it very natural because it is something that, you know, you've been doing for so long? Is there now a consistent flow with it, or how are you guys feeling with your podcast and creation at this point so far?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both, dude. Like, I think I can only speak for myself, right? But Garrett and me are very similar in the fact that, like, I am passionate about, you know, helping people through the power of this plant, right? And now I'm learning about a lot of other plants, so it's kind of like going down this journey. But I'm passionate about this, so I always come back to it. I always want to talk about it. So whether we record or not, when I see Garrett, I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, man, did you see that article on such and such? Or, oh, they dropped this new strain, or they found this terpene, or like, it's just a topic of conversation. So even if we don't record it, that sense of passion is still going to come back out. But yeah, mm-hmm. dude, like the other part of it is it is work to get together and schedule things and move shit aside in our personal lives to like get together and record. And, you know, I'm thankful that I work in a place that's got a pretty flexible scheduling system where I can move stuff around if I need to for important guests. Like we had Seattle Chronic Seeds on and I like skipped that day of work or, you know, moved and worked on the weekend or something. And I was able to do that. And there's been times where, you know, like I think about the people who can't just do that, right? Like you can't just take a day off or take a sick day or do the thing. So I think, you know, in a way I'm passionate about it. There's a lot of like, I don't know, blessing or good fortune when it comes to the timing of this. And, you know, I'm in a good position to do it. So it's easy to get back into the flow of it. You know, like even after a break like that, it's like, I want to do that. And because the desire is there and the passion's there, then it's like, okay, cool. Gonna do it again. And yeah, it's rough, but we grease it out.
I find that so beautiful because like exactly like I speak about helping people with mental health and spirituality and finding their inner strength and that warrior energy. You speak about it from, you know, the power of the plant and aligning your core values and your life and your passions with that which you are passionate about. So what was the first step in you actually taking that journey? Either one of you, whoever wants to answer first.
Taking over. Because this is the Aaliyah May podcast now. She's asking that.
I have like three questions that she's asked that I'm like, ooh, okay, I got
that's so funny.
You.
Yeah, but this is what happens when you have other podcasters on.
Yeah,
you
we know, just interview in each other.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, we're like
we missed you. Let me ask these questions.
But, you know, purpose is a really big thing for a lot of content creators, and you know, whatever you're creating content about, eventually you get to this point where you're just in absolute bliss and harmony and you realize, damn, like I'm so fucking lucky to be able to do this and that I created this platform for myself in this space. But you have to get to a place first where you can actually recognize that that is your purpose. So I'll give Garrett the floor first to answer. I like I would take control of y'all's podcast, but I genuinely want to know because it's so important and it'll help, you know, your audience understand how the Smoking With podcast came about.
Yeah.
Well, first I want to say that like complacency is a dangerous thing, right? Like, it's probably one of my biggest like weaknesses, right? Like taking a break, like say when we did get sick and Josh had a baby, right? We did have all those banked, right? And then you get into this period of, you know, 2 maybe 3 weeks go by and you didn't create any content, but it felt good, right? Like you had that extra free time that, you know, 2-3 hours plus whatever editing uploading time is of free time now, and then that feels good. You do other things with it. However, I wasn't doing anything worthwhile. I was mostly playing video games, right? And so honestly, this podcast keeps me more so on a track if we're doing it rather than if we're not. So if we don't do it, yeah, I'll just get into this period of not doing it because, you know, we can't or whatever. And it just it puts me, like, you, I guess you would say, like in a dark place. Not necessarily a dark place, but yeah, back to that whole complacency is a dangerous thing. It just, I don't know, you don't move forward that way. And I don't really remember your question because we just smoked a joint, but I just really wanted to say that out.
When did you discover your passion?
Your passion for wanting to take action and pursue your purpose. And you know how like how Josh had said that it would come back to this anyways about teaching people about the power of the plant. So, you know, going the route of the podcast, what was it that was that fire inside of you that just got you to show up in front of the microphone?
It was happening anyway. I guess, like, Josh and I were just doing this without microphones for a very long time. Well, when I say a very long time, it's less time than we've actually been a podcast, but
yeah, probably like a year.
Like a solid year, him and I were growing together and just delving so hard into the knowledge of the plant. And just because all we knew is we smoked it and we liked it or whatever, right? And then it just, like, we started growing it, and then that kind of forced us into this whole learning process. And then you just realize, like, this book went from, like, being this thin, like a user manual. Now it's, like, a couple dictionaries, mm-hmm. and you're like, and then there's more, like shit right. is being written every day about it. So it's like this endless pursuit of knowledge for the world, at least right now. And so that means for all of us, it's an endless pursuit of knowledge. So it's just so fascinating that we get to discover something like in real time, right? Like in our lifetime, all this stuff is being either discovered or rediscovered now. And I think that's such a cool thing, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of tech stuff that's happening now and stuff. And like, that just doesn't speak to me, but I don't know. Yeah. It's just that like endless pursuit and in influx of knowledge that just keeps me wondering about this whole thing. Yeah. So, and I like to talk about it.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
That's awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah. Do you want me to answer?
I would love to hear your answer. I'm high too. Sets my soul on fire.
I'm high too, so this might come from a weird place. But so
maybe then we'll get back to you, Aaliyah. I promise.
Yeah, Aaliyah. Well, because this is going to actually segue into the question I have for you.
Perfect. So,
I wanted to know, or we'll get there later. But for me, when I was like 22, right ish. I didn't know a lot about a lot, and I knew that, but I did know that I liked helping people, right? That when I was doing things that were in service of other people, it felt good, right? It made me happy. I'd get up early in the morning and go do it, right? So I don't even know the listeners know, but I used to be like big in church, right? Like I was a youth leader, you know, junior high pastor, all the things, right? Like I did Bible college for a couple of years, right? And the thing that all of that made me realize is that I enjoy helping people, right? I enjoy going out and, you know, I did some Celebrate Recovery stuff with like drug addicts, and that was really rewarding. And I used to do that. I would go to work in Seattle in construction, and for those of you guys not in Washington, that's like 2-hour drive each way when there's traffic. And then I'd get up at like 5 in the morning, drive to work, drive back just in time to go do the group at like 7 at the church, and then like do that every Tuesday and Thursday. And it was dope. And when I found this plant, I was like, wow, okay, this is a way that I can help people. When I started growing it and looking into it with Garrett and getting all this thirst for knowledge and getting deeper into the community, like even the community's vibe and culture is one of like healing, right? Because this is this is a medicine. People use this to heal their bodies. So you're learning about this and you're like, oh wow, this can be used for so many things to help people that currently we're using things that, yeah, they help, but they also have this like really harmful trade-off, right? Whether it's money or, you know, your health or side effects or whatever, right? Like there's other things to take away pain and ease your anxiety and, you know, help with depression that are just frankly not as effective on lower levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you learn about this plant and its capabilities, and I'm like, okay, wow, I'm really passionate about this. I like watching things grow. Like I like learning about the earth and growing different plants. And then I like helping people. So we were helping people set up groves, right? There was like a handful of people who were like, oh, I want to start gardening. And we're like, dope, we got you. Here's some pots. Here's our old light that we don't use anymore, right? You can use that. We got this old shitty fan. I'm sorry, but you can use that if you want to. You know, like we were just borrowing. We would give people seeds because we had done some like little undercover breeding projects. And we're like, yeah, dude, like, fucking take some seeds, we'll come over, we'll help you set up, like we'll teach you anything you want to know, you can text us. And you know, it was something that it was aligning that passion of helping people through this outlet of this plant that I love, and the podcast is a way to amplify that, right? Now I don't get to just help a handful of people do their grow and learn about the medicine of this plant, how powerful it can be and the effectiveness it can have on their life. Now I get to tell thousands of people, right? Now I can talk to a bunch of people and give them this information and potentially help them. And then on a smaller scale, like I get to reach people personally and talk to people personally that are, you know, states away. Like we're homies with you. You're on this show today. You're in motherfucking Texas, right? Like there's no way outside of this podcast that I would be able to have this connection and do this with you even. So, you know, I think the podcast is a powerful tool, and it's not necessarily that I'm passionate about the radio-ness of the podcast. Like, I'm not really... The microphone and the camera, like, they're just a tool, right, for me to go and reach more people. Because honestly, dude, sometimes I hate being in front of the camera. I'm, like, very self-conscious of, like, how I look and my hair, and I'm like, oh, God, like, that's horrible. But whatever, dude, run it, because it's not about that. It's about helping the people. But that segues me into a question. I wanted to know, you know, what are the things that you did during, like, your kind of dark times, you know, because you had your passion, you knew your passion was always there. What are, like, two mindfulness steps, two things that you did to help you get out of that? Because I think that's powerful for everyone, right? Like, and I think you should definitely share that.
I love this question so much. It is a very, very powerful question, because I talk about this on my podcast in a number of ways. I've been directing my podcast more toward mental health, because I realize that as I've gone through depression and anxiety, that my mess can be the message that could save somebody else from feeling those feelings. So sorry, I didn't even smoke. Oh my goodness. Okay. I like lost my train of thought.
Vicariously through us.
Yes, literally. I mean, earlier this morning, but yes. Okay, so back to the question at hand. The two of the things that I did when I was going through this time is staying connected with friends and family and support and people who love you and genuinely want you to do well, because it's so easy when you're going through those dark times, even if they're not as dark as I went through, right? Even playing video games, self-isolating, not communicating with people, over time, that will definitely do a number on your mental health. And it's much easier to stay in isolation, especially in the world that we live in that can be chaotic, crazy, fear-mongering, BS being thrown in every direction. But surrounding yourself with people who genuinely have your best interests and reevaluating those people who you may think do have your best interests, yeah. Just like reasking yourself, truly, do they? Like, are they really listening? Am I listening? Do I genuinely care? You know, going deep into those relationships, because I say connection, but through reaching out to specific people, I actually learned that some people don't have my best interests, and it was actually holding me back even more. And I was holding so much space for these individuals that didn't hold that same amount of space for me to heal. So connection is the big one. Heck is yeah. Staying connected with people who love and support you, because they will remind you of your power. Right. Always. When they send you kind messages, when they send you voice messages, save them, screenshot them, look back at them. If you can't get a hold of them, then you have that reminder there of how much of a badass you are, how much you matter to this world, and the impact that you have. And yeah. Sometimes it's not that easy. You know, I did a whole podcast episode, I think, it was either last week or the week before, talking about powerful ways to get out of a mental health slump. So there is also some additional tips there in that episode if your listeners want to go listen to that.
Definitely go check that out.
It's very powerful, very short. I try to keep them on the 15 to 20 minute mark so that people can easily digest the information. But another way outside of that podcast episode as well is moving your body. If you are at like a 1 to 5, I would say, you could maybe chill out, drink some tea, journal, meditate. But if you're at like a 5 to 10 on anger, anxiety, depression, you need to switch your environment up. You have to get outside. You need to do something that is not normal to what you would normally do, right? If you would normally play video games or pour yourself into work or eat or, you know, a number of things that we all pour ourselves into when we feel these uneasy feelings come up, you know, you have to be conscious of, you know, pulling yourself out of that by doing something different than what you're doing now, because what you're doing now is not working for you. So yeah, just being mindful of that. And it is a lot easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to add a third thing into there as well, tying into the religion aspect of it, because your story is very similar to mine. And religion is something I'm diving kind of back into, not necessarily believing in God necessarily, putting that label on it, but there are a lot of principles of the Bible that had me so drawn in from the very beginning when I was younger. And up until ninth grade, I was hardcore. Like, every bio I've ever had on Instagram until ninth grade, I swear, was like a Bible verse. Like, I was that person. And I loved the Spirit of God that moved through me in the ways that he would in church. I say he because that's what the Christian belief system identifies as.
Because you've been indoctrinated to say that.
Exactly, yeah. But it was the energy that would move through me. It was that knowing that something, that there is a force outside of me that is guiding me in the direction that I need to. And having that faith and those morals and that belief system of your own is enough to keep you going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, the church has a lot of great principles like praying and having the Ten Commandments, which are moral values that we should all have nonetheless, you know, in different ways. But I think that there are a lot of fundamental principles there that are pretty universal for living a blissful life. And there are a lot of takeaways. So having something that's greater than you to believe in and put your energy into is definitely. Yes, absolutely.
I agree. I think that whatever your spirituality is, spend time with that. Like, meditate on that. Be with it. Even in church, right? It was always the most important thing was your personal relationship with God, right? And in other religions, it's the same way. You know, they want you to take personal time to do this thing and meditate. And if you go and like learn some Taoist stuff and go over like more towards Eastern doctrine, like even if they weren't super spiritual, they still believed in time of, you know, being in meditation and quietness and one with yourself. And I think that if every single kind of place in the world or region in the world kind of has found the same universal truth, right? They just call it something a little different. Well, like probably it works, you know?
I totally agree with you on that. And it, just living in different parts of the world too, with like, you know, coming from Minnesota where I lived, it was really heavily Catholic. And then when I lived in Utah, Mormon, and then living in Houston, It's literally like a whole United States culture in Houston. But now here in Austin, it's all, you know, free spirited. Everybody has their own beliefs. It's so interesting because we all, you know, at the end of the day, if you do want to put your energy into believing in something that's greater than you, which you are being quite ignorant if you don't believe that there's a power that is greater than you that can control, that has the ability to control your future. And if you put your faith into that, then he, she, it will guide you in the direction that you are supposed to go. And I say it, he, she, it, they, just so vaguely because we all have a different way to get there.
Right.
But if you have those beliefs and that faith to just keep you going, it doesn't matter how you get there. Because if there is a God and he's sitting there and he's going to judge all three of us and we all have our own different way of getting there, he's not going to be like, well, because you're not Catholic, you're not coming into my kingdom. Right. You have to be Catholic and not Mormon, even though you were a great Mormon. That's too fucking bad. Like, that's not how he works.
Right. Yeah. And I think even the CIA did stuff on manifestation and like vibrations and stuff, right? And like how you can like mentally call something into alignment. And like it's declassified now, right? They did this study back in the 80s. So you can go read it, guys. You can go. I think there's one library in all of America. You can Google it. It'll take you to this public library site, and then they have PDF versions of this declassified thing, and you can fucking read it. And you know,
it is there.
The CIA is like, yep, that's a thing. So again, like, if it's something that every religion, every kind of culture around the world has kind of put thought into and been like, hey, this is this, and this is how this works, and then the CIA checks it out, and they're like, oh yeah, actually, you can do the like faith manifestation, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? That is a something, that is a force.
That scares me that like the CIA is looking into this type of shit, because like
they did back in like the 70s and
80s. Oh, and they're not now. You think
now, but the shit that you can read about is like their conclusive evidence from like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I don't know. Anytime some like government body starts messing with your like being able to use your mind to make decisions, I'm like,
right.
But the thing about these documents is that
you can use your own mind for.
Yes. And the thing about these documents that you're talking about, Josh, is that they're not like, it's not public knowledge that they're available. It's like, hey, yeah, we've done this research. Yep, you can definitely change your biochemistry with just your thoughts. But we're not going to let you know that because big pharma and, you know, big everything.
Well, they let you know as sneaky as they like. If you're seeking this information, you'll find it. But if you're not, like, you'll never know. We're not going to advertise it. We're not going to be like, hey, you should read this. Yeah, it's very like inaccessible as far as the internet goes. Like, I could Google any other subject and there would be a million things that would give me the information. The fact that you Google this thing and it takes you to a library website that takes you to the only PDF online. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing with like, that's why it scares me, right? Like we just now got like confirmation about aliens and shit, right? And then there were these studies that they did on with like people in LSD and just like dosing randoms and like that shit is
yeah, it should heck you up a little bit.
Like they're like, oh yeah, we found that LSD actually can cure a lot of stuff, but we're just gonna put it out there, right? We're not gonna be like, oh my gosh guys, look at what we found. We're just gonna like just put it in this library and not tell anyone about it.
Psilocybin is the big one for me. Like, why the fuck are we not promoting the fact that psilocybin can actually put your brain cells back together? Like, it repairs a damaged brain. Shouldn't we want that? Like, shouldn't we want that for people?
Nah,
but no,
that's too easy.
Right. But then you go back to the cultures that did have the magic mushrooms, right? Experiences with psilocybin and how frequently they would do it, right? It was like, you know, once or twice a year, or sometimes four times a year, where they'd have these, like, you know, there was a whole event about it, right? And they'd go and they'd get together and they'd do the thing and there's music and drums and fire. And yeah, they'd have like this group trip. But, you know, like, why would you do it at these intervals? Well, because every so often, dude, you need to repair those synapses and get your chemical brain stuff all equaled out. And psilocybin can do that. And how did they know thousands of years? Well, it's something that they've been introduced to by either something else, right? If you want to go deep alien side of it, or, you know, like you're going and you're eating different shit and then you found out, wow, I ate these mushrooms, I thought I was gonna die, but I didn't. But afterwards I felt great. Then you're like, okay, cool, so we just need to treat that one a little bit more carefully. That's gonna be a spiritual, religious, secret, you know, special mushroom. And then boom, dude,
I thought I was gonna die. Yeah, that's how I feel when I take mushrooms, usually.
Well, I can imagine for the first time, like, there was no, like, dosing, right? It was
they just
like,
ate it.
It was probably like, that looks like that, and mushrooms. Just like, and then was like, oh, and everyone in the village thought this person was going to die, and he was talking about, you know, the sky turning colors and, you know, seeing through the tent and all this other shit, and then didn't die.
What was y'all's first mushroom experience like? Aaliyah, what was yours?
Yeah, Aaliyah hit me.
I actually talked about this on my podcast, my first magic mushroom experience, but I thought I had more of a spiritual intention at that point in time. It was actually right after recording with you guys on part one and two. So it was over a year ago. So very different person. But I went before moving to Texas, I took mushrooms to heal my childhood trauma at my parents. So I went back to my parents' house, and my dad has a huge farm, tons of land, forest, trees. So I took the mushrooms at 12/11. I wrote it on my hand, which is my birthday, and I didn't even know. So the time was 12/11. Had like a 4-hour trip where I was just out in the forest. I was talking to the rocks. I was, you know, journaling, meditating, doing yoga, and it was so beautiful. And I didn't have much of an intention then besides let's heal my trauma with being at my parents' house, which feels so heavy to me being here all the time. And then after that, it was like a snowball effect of events that happened after I did that within my family, where things just started to evolve in everybody's consciousness because I decided to take that step. So then actually just a month ago, I took them again for the second time. And oh my god, did it fucking rock my shit. I was crying so much, you guys, because it revealed to me everything that I have been questioning for so long. Like purpose, intention, God, source, like everything that I needed to know, it came through to me. in that experience, and just looking at crystals and rocks and being in meditation throughout the experience. And oh man, it was absolutely beautiful. That I would say was more of like what I was hoping for with a magic mushroom experience, because I think I would have definitely gone and played with the rocks and gone on a hike and meditated and stuff on my own without it. Mm-hmm. But this last time I did it about a month ago was like a true awakening, where I actually had universal downloads coming through to me that were able to heal me just from having that thought and that permission downloaded through to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
So did you go into this experience like you said, with intention, right? Were you, did you have like a, I don't want to call it like an itinerary of you taking the shroom trip, but did you have like a plan of what you were going to do while you took the shrooms this last time?
Yes, this last time I had like a whole list of, I want to feel my own heartbeat. Like, to feel your own heartbeat when you're under the effect of psilocybin, which opens your heart, is one of the most empowering things, because on a daily basis, I'll often feel my own breath, because feeling that breath, which is my anchor that moves through me and keeps me alive, reminds me of my worth and my value and my purpose. But then feeling my heartbeat as I'm on this experience with it allowed me to, so that was my first step, was feeling my heart, which then allowed me to flow into all the other activities that I had planned, and not really planned, but let them go into a flow, which was making sure I eat food so I can look at my food, appreciate it, be intentional with it. I started naming all my sweet potatoes as I was eating them and telling them thank you for what they've done for me and the nutrition that they bring to my body, meditating, journaling, just trying to go into it, I guess, with the overall arching theme of healing and letting go of any thoughts or limiting beliefs that I have. And it revealed to me something really crazy that I never thought possible, which I'll share definitely if y'all want me to.
Of course.
When I first like started the podcast, met you guys or anything like that, I don't know if we talked about this in the last episode, kids, but I was like so against kids, because I had four younger brothers that I felt like I had to raise almost in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, no kids, fuck kids, you know? And I'm looking at this rock when I'm on mushrooms and I see four sets of eyes, and it's a mother and a father holding two kids. And I was like, I'm totally supposed to be a mother. I am way too conscious of a human being to not have a kid and instill my ideas in them and make them a fucking badass and help them to find their power. So in that experience, my limiting self-belief was that I can't be a parent because I need to do life for me. And I was coming from a very selfish place, and opening up my heart in that way and having the intention revealed to me that I was actually lying to myself, and that I really do want to nurture and care for and love another individual and be a mom and use my power as a woman to bring creation to this earth, you know?
Oh yeah. That's dope, dude. What a good shroom trip. Like, on you for eating, bro. Like, whenever I'm on shrooms, I cannot eat. I'm like, maybe some like candy or something if somebody just tricks me, but like, nah, like it fucks with me.
What was your dose?
I took 4 grams of golden teachers, yes. But I will say this, and this is not a recommendation for anybody. This is just me and my own personal experience. But
how much
what was that?
How much do you weigh?
120 pounds.
120 pounds, 4 grams. Okay, yeah. I just want to put that into perspective.
I don't know how that dose compares to others. Yes, so I'm 120 pounds. It was probably about 3.5 by the time it was all said and done, because I blended it into a smoothie, and I couldn't swallow the end of it. It was like just a little bit, but I probably was about 3.5, let's say.
So the whole
and. Eight. Yeah, so then after I blended it and I drank it, and then after hour one, I took one hit, and that elevated my experience by, I hate to even say 10x, it's like 20, 50x, like everything was just so in sync and harmonized that I felt the energy of the oneness of the universe, and I'm floating on it and I'm riding out this wave. But it wasn't until after I took that one hit that I actually felt that extremely elevated openness in my heart space. Again, not a recommendation, but if you do, you know, interact with both of these on a regular basis and you know what your dosage is and you're curious about it, it is quite a beautiful experience if you go into it with an intention and an open mind.
Yeah, and I think the you mentioned those golden teachers, right?
Yes.
I think those are stronger than Kabenzis, like the regular ones that we'd get around here. So I think
we call them regular ones, but they're the ones that are around here.
Regular ones.
Over there in Texas, she's like, what? Kabenzis? Yeah, we're like, the ones you could literally go outside and pick, the ones that are out there.
Wait, what?
Bro, yeah, Kabenzis in Washington just grow in the wild, bro. Yeah, if you know what you're looking for, you could just go forage hella Kabenzis. Like, we have closed cap and, like, golden Kabenzis, like, everywhere.
Yeah, go find them on some cow poop.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, like, yum.
Legit.
Bro, love to put that in my smoothie.
Yum.
Hey, man, they all grow on the decaying material.
A whole eighth of something strong, that's impressive. Like, I commend you, because I do an eighth, and I'm like 200 and...
I've never even...
I'm like 110 pounds more than you. And
oh, my goodness. I've taken
like the same dosage of mushrooms that are probably not as strong as the mushrooms you took, and you're like, yeah. So I feel that. You're definitely one with the universe, because you're on a hero trip for sure.
Man, I don't think I've ever gone past 2 grams. Like, I'm always nervous with my psychedelics. I take them in very small stages, but shrooms, for whatever reason, just like make me nauseous, like insanely nauseous. And I that is like one of my least favorite things, is feeling nauseous or feeling like I'm going to, you know.
Honestly, I just have to go take a shit, and then after that I feel good.
Like, it hurts your stomach so bad, bro, though. Yeah, like, I feel that.
You got the BGs bad. Like, you're like, oh, and you feel all nauseous. Everything, and you're sweating, and your palms are sweating, and you're like,
but like, then you get past that, it's like,
whew. Yeah. As soon as you ride that out, bro, like, it's good times. That's why.
Does your guys' face get like super flushed too? Like, on your cheeks?
My chest too. Like, my chest will get all pink. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm down with the psilocybin, but yeah, that experience, if I have to go through that experience to get to a good experience, I don't know. It's like,
I do it.
It's hard for me to do it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard about the podcaster Aubrey Marcus?
No. Is that her podcast? Or his podcast? Sorry.
His podcast, yeah. So he used to own Onnit, which is a fitness like supplement brand with Joe Rogan, I believe. And he sold it as of like this year. But he's in Austin, and he is a psychedelic enthusiast, and he talks a lot about he just had Aaron Rodgers on the podcast talking about his experience with ayahuasca. And through listening to Aubrey Marcus, I've been able to open up my mind even more to psychedelics, because I am much like you guys, very much about ayahuasca. The power of the plant. Like, I love smoking. It's always done it for me. It's allowed me to get to that place of calm. It's allowed me to have realizations that I didn't know I could have, and just allowed me to unlock levels of myself I didn't know possible. But after listening to Aubrey Marcus, it definitely opened up my mind to the fact that there is even more. There's a reason why there are people who are that do ayahuasca once a year. There's a reason why people do microdosing or macro dosing 4 times a year, like you had said, Josh. Like, there is a reason for it, and there are so many resources available to us to make it, make it easier for us to elevate that growth and that spiritual evolution, just like cannabis can do. But yeah, psilocybin is one of those things that I was kind of skeptical about. And even as you guys say, like, four grams is a lot. I'm like, is it? I don't really know, because I don't know a ton, but I knew that was what was called to me. And the reason I took that, and this is going to maybe sound kind of stupid for some people who are listening, but I was seeing fours everywhere when I was asking the universe, how much should I take? What do I really need to get to this place? Because the time before, I think I took maybe 2 grams, and I felt just normal. Like, I don't know if that's just because that's what my natural state is, but 2 grams just didn't really do it for me. So I saw fours all day long, and it was very clear to me I needed to do 4. Yeah. So whenever you're thinking about dosing too, I just want to say this to your listeners, that don't look for the signs necessarily unless you're in tune with your intuition like that. But you will know when you read up on it, when you read about other people's experiences and how much they weigh and what their experience was, you'll know. The number will resonate with you whenever you're taking it, and you'll get from it that which you put the intention in.
And it takes a whole hell of a lot to, like, for very, very bad things to happen. So, like, if you're first time trying it, like, you know, probably you're going to buy an eighth, right? That's, like, the standard unit of, like, first buying. And the worst case scenario, you pull an Aaliyah and you hero that eighth, dog. Like, you just do the whole damn thing. And, you know, you're going to go straight to space. You're going to have a good experience. Or you're going to have an experience. I won't promise that it'll be good. Because, depending on where your mindset is, it could be very not good. But you're going to have an experience, and you're going to know in the future, okay, if I don't want that, then if I do these again, I'm going to do less, right? And then you just kind of get to that zone.
I think it's important to note, that's what you just said, though, about where your head's at, right? Because I feel like a lot of people do take the psilocybin to remedy that, I guess, if that makes any sense, right? Like, a lot of times their intention is to experience something different than what they're experiencing in their head, try to evacuate themselves from that situation. And so I think that, you know, in psilocybin, it's being studied, and that's why not a lot of places, but like places like Oregon, I think there was one other place that like actually decriminalized it,
Colorado,
and to do studies and research on it, because it, much like cannabis, I feel like we're going to see this over the same kind of way that cannabis came to be legalized or decriminalized or however they're going to do it. But yeah, it's just a very therapeutic thing. And even if you go into it and have like a bad trip there
afterwards, the therapy's still there, right?
Right. And that's right. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to thank you. It's just like, it still helped made. You.
Yeah.
Even if it was a terrible experience and you're like, I'm never going to do that again, you will pull something from that. And chances are it's going to help you,
right?
With what you're currently dealing with.
I think that's a good thing to say. You're going to roll the dice on the experience, but afterwards, either way, it's probably going to be a good thing for your body. Your brain is going to be better for it. You might white knuckle it or laugh your way all the way through. Either way, you're going to cry. I will say that. Good trip, bad trip. Tears will be had. Like, man, I looked at this box one of my first times tripping, and I passed the UPS like storefront. And there's just this one box, dude. And I don't know why, but it had this, like, one light shining down on, like, the different parts. And it was hitting this box just right. This looked like a glowing box to me when I was, like, tripping. And I was like, wow, look at that box. And then, like, walk up to the window. And I'm like, oh, put my hand. I was like, that box is just so perfect. My homie was tripping, too. And he's like, wow, dude, that fucking box. And we were just staring at this box in UPS, like, probably 30-45 minutes in the middle of the night. And it was a great experience, dude. And I cried over how beautiful this fucking brown packing box was. And I was happy and I was laughing. And I knew it was ridiculous, right? Like, it's a fucking box. But it was the box, man.
It's the truth.
That is too funny, though. I mean, everything is elevated during that experience. And that's why I now know it is so important to have an intention and to be in the right headspace, because much like these beautiful, amazing, natural healing plants and things that we have available for us to heal, the moon is much like that. The moon amplifies what you are. So people say that whenever there's a full moon that people go crazy, right? Mm-hmm. No, crazy people's feelings just get amplified when the moon is more intense, because you are being influenced by that energy. So same thing with cannabis. You're being influenced by the energy of the plant. You're being influenced by the energy of the mushroom or whatever you choose to take. So it is important to go into it with an intention and know that whatever experience you're about to have is just an amplification of what you already are and what you are already experiencing. Mm-hmm. So if you go into, let's say, smoking, which is more relatable to your audience, if you go into smoking and you have just a kink in your neck and you smoke and you're like, I'm going to get rid of this pain, but you keep thinking about the kink in your neck, your pain is going to amplify, you know, it's not going to make it dissolve. But if you go into it with the intention of, I'm going to smoke and the intention to smoke is to get rid of this neck pain, and you release, you surrender, and you allow that intention to just be your entire energy and your essence, that's what will happen. But if you focus on how much it hurts, you're going to amplify that. So any plant or medicine that you choose to indulge in that may have any of these effects, you know, cannabis and mushrooms are very different, but I say it universally with both is that it's important to have an intention, because whatever you're feeling is just going to continue to heighten for you in that. And that's what the purpose is to reveal to you that which you need to solve.
Yeah. And I think if you're listening to this and you have like a job and kids and you're like, oh damn, I can't do that, right? Like I can't take, you know, a whole eighth to the face and then have this spiritual experience. Like I got shit to do. I got to put the kids to bed at 8, right? Like I got to wake up at this time because I got work, right? And even on the weekend, you got shit that's ready to fan out, right? Start with microdosing. Like get a very little bit. And when I mean microdose, I mean like you break out that scale and you're doing like less than like, it's going to be 0.0 something, right? Like there's going to be a zero there and you're going to
not
do
4 grams.
There. Yeah. Not 4 point. Yeah. No, it's going to be 0.05, 0.0, whatever, right? Somewhere in there. And you're going to just do a little bit and you're going to feel almost nothing. It's going to be imperceptible. But it's going to be the slight adjustment. And after doing that for a while, those connections and everything's still going to start getting repaired. You're going to be in a better headspace. And then if you do the 4 grams after you've been microdosing for a little bit, chances are it's going to be easier for you to be in a good headspace because you're not going to be dealing with the depression and anxiety as hard because you've been microdosing for a while.
There's this this Netflix mini series, limited, whatever they call it. It's called How to Change Your Mind. And it has episode. There's 4 episodes on it, I think. One of them's on LSD, one of them's on psilocybin, one of them's on MDMA, and the other's on mescaline. And if you haven't heard of this, go check it out. I've only seen the LSD one, but it was really interesting. It kind of just gives you a history of it and its medicinal uses. And it's by or produced by Paul Stamets, who did the Fantastic Fungi.
Wow, I love this.
The documentary?
Documentary, yeah, thank you.
He is no longer at the Olympia Farmer's Market, too. He's made
of course
it.
Not. Yeah. He's made it.
I tried to go look for that guy a couple times after that, and I was like, no, he ain't even there. There is a person. There's a mushroom person. Not that guy.
But anyway, yeah, go check that out if you're interested in seeing that, both of you too. Like it's super cool. I'm interested in it. I want to get to the psilocybin one because now that we're talking about it. But Aaliyah, something you said that just like spoke to me, like it's weird how much you're like speaking to me right now through your words about amplifying, like how if you're, because I'm a hypochondriac with anxiety and the only drug I use is cannabis. So well, and sometimes other fun drugs when, you know, you're out having a good time. But, yeah, like, I'll do that. Like, almost every time I get into this weird funk that I feel like I'm currently in right now. Like, I feel like I'm in this, like, clouded area of my life. For whatever reason. I can't determine what's happening. But, anyway. Every time I, like, smoke, sometimes I get into this, like, weird more often. It's happening more and more often. That's why I'm like, you're speaking to me right now. Because, yeah, it's like, I'll smoke and then whatever I was dealing with is just like amplified because I can't stop thinking about it. Again, it goes back to this whole hypochondriac thing where the loop repeats in my head and I'm just like, oh, yep, this is worrying me, Right now, like we're about to go to the Gorge for a fun festival here in a couple days, me, my wife, and a couple of our friends. And I literally just fixed this bus, right? Like I just got the engine working like a week ago, like got it done. And I'm just worried about it, right? Like I have faith that it made it because we took it already 50 miles and on the freeway and everything. And I have faith it operated and all that. But like something in the back of my head, I'm like, I just got this thing fixed. Josh just got a call. yeah, I don't know. It's just this thing that's lingering in my back of the head because now we got to take it to Eastern Washington. And that's like 100+ miles
up and down a mountain,
up and down a mountain, like over a pass.
Yeah, I'm imagining this right now. Like, if it just shuts down, it's like,
or you're going up and it shuts down and you're going backwards.
Yeah, so. And this was like engine work. I was doing like intensive like engine work to this motherfucking thing, and I did this all in like a couple of months, and it's something I'd never done before. And I'm just like so. It's like been on my mind, and every time I smoke. Not right now because we're doing this podcast thing. I put my energy here from the weed, but I'll just like smoke and I'll just sit there and think about it and think about it and think about it and like put myself in this pit of despair of like, this is not. And again, it goes back to this kind of manifestation thing, right? Like if I keep thinking about that and then I think about that and then I fixate on that, that I'm not manifesting the right thing, right? I'm manifesting that this bus is breaking down because that's all I could fucking think about. And that's not where my mind wants to be, right?
Right.
So yeah, sometimes like I've been thinking a lot about like, unfortunately, like taking a big break from cannabis, aside from what we do here and like the reviews and stuff we're going to do. But like, I just feel like that's something that, you know, you just gotta, I gotta bring myself back into like the, clarity, I guess. But that was just really crazy that like a lot of what you're talking about today is really speaking to me, and I think it's because I'm in my, as you would call it, like, and this happens to me, I go in ebbs and flows of my like dark place, right? Everything feels okay,
as we all do,
right? But like you express outwardly all this, you know,
the same
person, but like internally you're just dealing with a bunch of shit, and you're just like, oh man, and you don't let that out, right? Like then none of that goes out, but it's just I don't know. Maybe it's fate that we're talking right now. Yeah, you know,
I just
needed this like therapy session with Aaliyah. No.
I think you need to manifest some time, and we need to drive that bus up and down the Nisqually Hill. Like, I just feel like you just need to go take like 3 loops.
And I'll be like, it's fine.
And then you're like, okay. Like, we didn't die. It didn't break. If it was going to break, it would have broke.
Like I said, though, I have faith in it. That's the thing. It's just.
No, that's what I'm saying. But physically, like, you can go back and be like, look, I made it up. Literally a steep, we could even go the back way and go up the windy part that spits you out over there by the stop sign, and it's like, all right, cool, like I'm ready for a mountain, we're good to go.
I love that you brought that up too, and it's funny because you say maybe it's faith that we are together here, but no, like everything works out in divine timing as it's supposed to be. Like we already knew, you know. When I first reached out to you guys, like, what, almost 2 years ago now, like, it's random DM in your request. Like, when I first reached out, who would have thought that I would be the one to relay this message to you, to give you that permission? Because I don't know if you all noticed, but I didn't smoke this, or I didn't smoke during this episode, because I've noticed that I actually get more anxious when I'm speaking to people and I'm high versus if I do introspective work where I'm going inward when I smoke. That's where it's more beneficial for me. So when I smoke with the intention, let this breathe in creativity into my body. Let this bring ease into my body. And as I'm feeling it, I'm feeling the smoke going through my body. I'm actually being super present with it. And it doesn't work for me always to smoke with people anymore. Certain people, yes, you know, it works for me. But if we're recording a podcast and I want to have my thoughts clear, I know how strong my anxiety is, and how if I have a bad experience, or if I'm going into it with even just a tiny bit of that emotion there, it will amplify that, which I already am. And around the time right now, which is a full moon phase that we're in, I don't want to risk that. Yeah. I want your audience to love me and to see the light in me, and not to be like, damn, this bitch is fucking crazy.
No.
So I get you. I totally understand. Like, that's why I've had to take a step back and take a break from smoking, and just being intentional about smoking at specific times in the day and knowing what I'm using it for, versus smoking and then sitting with my anxiety and then beating myself up for being more anxious because I smoked.
Yeah, that's sometimes a fatal flaw of this podcast, is you smoke and then it's someone you've never met before, right? Like, we'll have a guest on or something, and sometimes you just like get stuck, and then you forget what you were talking about because you were thinking of the next question, you know, or something along those lines, right? And then you're like, sometimes I get that way, and I'm just like, damn, dude, why did we smoke so fucking much?
Yes. I've been there, done that. I've been in stores before where I'm like, motherfucker, what am I doing here? Somebody get me out of here. Like, that's not a good place to be in. And that's those times where I smoked without an intention, where I have a shitty experience.
I'm just feeling more and more blessed, because literally it's like almost the opposite for me. It's like I get anxiety like talking to people and guests, like just normal, and like I'm like, oh shit, I'm gonna say the wrong thing, or there's too much dead air, or like, you know, and then I'm like all over the place. I think I have like ADHD, probably. Yeah.
But, we all do a little bit.
Like, yeah, yeah. But, like, when I'm sober, that's amplified, right? Like, I'm more fidgety. I'm more over the place. I'm thinking about things. People are talking, and I'm talking with them, but I'm also thinking about this other thing in my head, and, like, maybe that dominates my headspace for a second, and then I come back. Whereas when I smoke, it's like, well, I can only focus on this, right? Like, I can only focus on our conversation. I'm not
thinking about... Cancels the noise.
Yeah, it just helps bring everything that is fuzzy in the background, and it shuts that shit off, right? Then it's like, okay, cool, I'm here, right? Like, I'm doing this thing right now. Or when I'm driving and I don't smoke, I am such an aggressive, like, angry, borderline... dangerous driver when people are doing some fuckery, right? Like, I'll be regular, but you do some shit to me, dog, and I'm like, all right, okay, cool, you cut me off. I guess that's because you want me to be an inch away from your bumper. Like, this space is the space you want for us, so I'm going to keep this space and we're gonna go. And that's sober Josh, right? When he's driving. When I'm smoking weed, dude, and that happens, I'm like, whatever, dude. Fuck you.
Back off. You're chilling.
Turn the music
on. Yeah, right? Like, I'm listening to music. I'm vibing. You do some shit. I'm like, well, that was dangerous. And then, like, I keep going, right? Like, and it's fine. Or, like, crowds, bro. Like, crowds fuck me up when I'm sober. I feel like I'm claustrophobic. And, like, I could be in a tight space. I used to crawl under houses and be an addict and do all that stuff. It didn't bug me. Get me around a bunch of motherfuckers and make it feel like I can't move. Oh, bro, I'm, like, itching, I'm sweating, I'm, like, getting anxious. And if I smoke, don't feel that. It's fine, right? Like, I went down New York City, high as shit. That was fine. There's motherfuckers bumping into you and walking past you 24/7. But if I would have done that stone cold sober, it would have been bad. I would have been like, what the fuck? Yeah.
I would just like to add, because I've been in both of y'all's place before. Like, when we first met, first recorded, that's where I was at, Josh, was, like, I had to smoke in order to be a functioning being. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, people are so much. When I go in public, I literally want to scream. Like, people just, either, I don't even know how to explain it. When, like, it's a... Unless you have a genuine connection with somebody, right? And you're having an actual conversation, people can just almost treat you like you're just a thing, like an object, brush past you, like just be an ass. Especially, like, Texas is a good example of that. Everybody here is so fucking sweet and down to earth. They'll call you honey, sweetie. But if you meet them on the road, they'll fuck your shit up.
Oh, bro.
And
they'll run
it's
you
like
straight
a two
over.
Two completely different people. Exactly. Yes. And I had to, like, when I first moved to Houston, I had to be high all the time driving in traffic because it was so much.
They're aggressive.
But I got
as
to
shit.
This place where I was like, I don't want to rely on something to keep me from losing my shit. So I started to discover other things like breath work and meditating. And I would love to share with your audience here for anybody who might be resonating with any of this. If you feel like maybe you have those amplified feelings of anxiousness, or you are in that place, like Josh had said, where you feel like you just can't deal with people.
Yeah.
I've been in both. And I'm here to tell you that there are so many beautiful resources available to you outside of smoking or, you know, taking mushrooms.
Yeah.
You can tune into your breath. You can find your center. You can find your inner peace by focusing your energy on your inhales and your exhale, feeling it going in and out of your nose.
Right.
It kind of sounds woo-woo, and it's a lot more challenging to pull your attention back into that, but it is so worth it, because you don't want to be that person to lose your shit, and you don't want to have to rely on smoking to make it possible to do the everyday activities.
Right, and it sounds woo-woo or whatever, but the fact of the matter is, you can go read books and talk to people that have studied this, and there's studies gone for thousands of years on the power of meditation and breathing, right? It's not like, yeah, it's woo-woo, but it's kind of like you're just doing a disservice to yourself to, like, not even look into it, to discredit it, because it's powerful and it works. Like, it's been proven. You're just choosing not to access that potential.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Aaliyah, I noticed that you had some guests recently. You've been starting to have, or at least one, I noticed. Is that something that you're trying to gear toward, or is that just something that just kind of happened?
Yeah, so I actually just as of like 2 weeks ago, maybe, I was like, this is no longer a me thing anymore. Like, I've shared a lot of my stories and my experiences. And now that I'm switching my intention with the podcast, I think it's time to bring on people who are more aligned with that and can add that other perspective to help my audience on their journey, which is individual to them and could be completely different than my perception of my reality. So I had somebody from Colorado, actually. She's a yoga instructor. I had her on the podcast, and it was so much fun. And then after, my little brother came for like a month to visit me, and I was like, oh my God, I got to do all this stuff by myself. And like, just trying to get all these episodes recorded by myself without having to schedule things while he's here. And now that I'm getting back in the flow after him leaving, I have been scheduling out. I have two already scheduled out in September. Nice. But that is definitely the aspect of my podcast that I was missing, was kind of something that we said in the beginning of the podcast, was whenever you're feeling in that dark place, to go back to that community and this connection, right? Like, yeah, we had been DMing and we had talked about meeting this morning, and I was like, I don't even know if we're gonna record, but if we do, it's exactly what my soul needed today. So just so everybody knows who's listening, we didn't have a plan for any of this, as we don't, because we're just in the flow of doing it. And this is what, you know, creating spaces like this is all about, is by connecting and doing that. So to answer your question, yes, absolutely. It was very clear to me that I was lacking that community aspect. And if anybody who's listening wants to be a guest on the podcast, I do have a form on my Instagram. If you want to fill it out, send me your stuff. We can definitely discuss and get moving on that, because I want to use my space to help people like you guys and like everybody else who has a podcast, who just are passionate about something in life, anything, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
That message that's inside of you and you and you listening, that only you know, and you're like, oh my God, how does everybody else not know about this, that you just want to share with the world? Like, I want to be that person to give people the space to share that, so that I can help other people along their journey. So, long story short,
it's good for you too, not just the audience. Like, I learned so much from our guests, right? Like, a guest will come on and they talk to me about something, and it's like, whoa, bro, you're blowing my mind. Like, now I have that insight. Damn, you okay, dog?
Don't mind me.
Now I have that insight, and I'm like, okay, now having that guest, like, it was so impactful. I hope the listeners get something from that. I hope the audience does. But for me, man, like, I got some. I'm a better person. I'm a better host. I'm a better individual because of that little nugget they dropped. And I mean, this conversation is the same way, right? Like, you're reaffirming and dropping some nuggets on, and I hope people are listening, right? And I hope the people that are listening actually needed that, and they're getting something from it, because it's good stuff.
Me too. That is all that I can hope for with everybody who is listening, is that my message resonates with somebody, anybody out there, and that you're able to take actionable steps in your life. And I always say, get curious about your own experience, because I could be curious about either one of your experiences and dive deep into the Smoking With podcast and how you guys started a podcast and all the episodes and the accomplishments and all the followers and the reels and everything you guys did, and be so curious and obsessed with somebody else. And just using your podcast as an example, you could use Aubrey Marcus, who's millions of followers, you know, anybody, or you could go out and create it yourself and get curious about your own experience and have a badass life while you're here incarnated in this earth suit, in this soul at this time.
And then eventually get to go talk to those people, right? Like, I am 100% believer, like, dude, we're going to get to a level where we're going to have some motherfuckers on this podcast that's going to be like, damn, dude, like, we never thought we would make it to this point. And, you know, it's going to be dope.
Yeah. Like, hopefully, you know, like, someone who, because a lot of people in the cannabis space are kind of getting older, so hopefully it happens a little soon. Like, Tommy Chong is getting old, man, and I want to talk to that man, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yo,
Go ahead.
Nope. All you.
I just wanted to share with your audience, too. I want to pull it up on my phone so I make sure that I get the episode correct. But I've referenced Aubrey Marcus a handful of times in the podcast, and that's because he's just completely changed my life and my perception on life. And one of the episodes that he uploaded recently, this was back July 6th. It's an hour and 17 minutes. It is called Cannabis as a Psychedelic Medicine. And this guy this episode will change your perspective on smoking and will open up your eyes and open up your mind to so much more about the plant from a spiritual perspective and allow you to almost gain more respect for it and think twice before you smoke about, you know, the heightening anxiety that you were talking about. Like it will offer a new perspective to you. So I wanted to share that with everybody, and I could send the links that y'all could put it in the show notes as well, but very, very, very relatable to the content that y'all talk about. He talks about how he started as working at in a dispensary, and he's like, I didn't understand because everybody was like, oh, just smoke all day long, you know, no problem at all. Like people that work in the dispensary. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but nobody believed in me enough to invest in what I was doing and what I truly believe the plant has the ability to heal. And that's because his values were not aligned correctly with the intention of the plant. So now he hosts almost like a meditation ceremony, but with cannabis, where people, you know, they're able to go into these traumas and let go. And he facilitates these ceremonies, which I think is absolutely beautiful and something I've considered doing since listening to that. So I just wanted to share that resource for everybody listening, because us cannabis lovers have to share all that as much as we can.
Absolutely. That's what the community is about.
Now that you've plugged them, let's get you some plugs. Where can people find you? You mentioned your Instagram, but you didn't give us a handle, Aaliyah. It'll all be down in the description, but just for those people listening and want to go do it now.
Yes, so I just started popping off on TikTok, everybody. Woo. I've been trying to upload 1 to 2 times a day. So at ButthHow Podcast on TikTok, at ButthHow Podcast on Instagram. And then about 2 days ago, I started a Facebook page, because you need that for a lot of different things that I'm trying to create. So if you want to go on any of those platforms to find me, it's at ButthHow Podcast. And then on YouTube as well, I'm working on creating some more vlog content and guided meditations. So a lot of beautiful offerings coming ahead for anybody who's interested in evolving their consciousness and finding your soul's purpose, centering. And if you're in this space and you're curious about anything that I had to say at all, please, 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 please take the time. Listen to 1 or 2 episodes. They're only about 20 minutes or so, packed with so much love and goodness. I pour my heart and soul into it, so I always plug it as much as I can.
Absolutely. I mean, go ahead, bang out 3 or 4 of them. If you're going to listen to us for an hour, you might as well listen to us for an hour. Just give her a chance, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything, like, final thought that you want to, like, convey to the people out there, Aaliyah?
Final thoughts. I want to leave something with, like, a bang, but the thing that's really just like, I don't have a quote or anything to pull from off the top of my head, but one thing that's really resonating with me is just to remind each and every person listening that you have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And don't stop until you find it, whether it takes smoking, psilocybin, meditating, going to church, whatever it is. You have a purpose and you are here for a reason. So do not stop on this quest of life until you find something that sets your soul on fire.
Bang.
Damn. Bang. All right, Aaliyah, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, it was so good to talk to you again.
Here, thank you, homie. So much.
And
been fun, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Go check her out. Until next time.
Yeah. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.